Purging Purgatory, A Ghost Story by Roger Mendoza. Some souls. Some souls, the Roman Catholic preaches, go to purgatory. It is a place where impure souls are purified in the fires before they may enter into heaven. Some souls spend a short time in purgatory. Others will stay in purgatory until the end of time, after which they will go into heaven. Some souls are granted permission to visit the living to beg for prayers or to have masses said for them. Through this, their time in purgatory may shorten. The living have considerable power with prayer. Some souls in purgatory pray for the living, for it is too late for them to pray for themselves. Some souls from purgatory appear to the living as horribly disfigured, barely recognizable beings. They are laden with guilt for committing lesser sins. As the flames of suffering burn these impurities in the soul away, the lightness and the beauty of the human essence are restored. All souls in purgatory eventually end up in heaven. Some souls who have committed heinous acts against God will never go to heaven. They will spend an eternity in hell. Those damned souls have no power over the souls in purgatory. Those godless souls, however, can influence the living to turn away from God. Some souls visit the living. It is difficult for the living to tell if they come from purgatory or hell. Some souls are not souls at all. They are dark angels or demons from hell. They are beings of pure evil. They must never be invited into the life of the living. Doing so will make one's life a living hell. Some souls born in the light of this world are unaffected by evil's influence. These souls, new upon the earth, stand in innocence as evil flee in horror from them. These souls belong to the new heroes, the likes of which have never lived on earth before. Chapter 1. A gentle breeze swayed the curtains in 8-year-old Tommy's bedroom. Sharp spears of early morning sunlight danced across the floor next to his bed in rhythm to the softly swaying curtains. Every now and then, the wind would blow the curtain open just far enough to send brilliant beams of light across his bed. They almost reached Tommy's serene face as he slept. A cacophony of early morning birds announced the beginning of the new day. Tommy didn't stir. Today was the first day of his summer vacation. Yesterday had been a long, action-packed one. After school, he had played soccer with his friends until his mother came to pick him up. The breeze blew the curtain open a little wider, and a burst of sunshine raced across Tommy's face. He winced slightly and then returned to his smooth breathing. He was a precocious little boy. He was a mama's boy. He had never known his father. From time to time, he would ask her about him. She would frown and say, "Sweetie, he left us before you were born. Maybe someday he'll come back. For now, we are your family. You, me, and your grandma. We love you so much." He would smile and say, "I love you both too." They were all the family he had ever known, except, of course, for Thomas. A small semblance of a smile formed on Tommy's lips as if he had heard one of his mother's jokes or he had enjoyed a nice walk in the park with her. His breathing continued softly. His mother, Catherine, was sleeping in the main bedroom just on the other side of the kitchen. He didn't know how much she struggled to make ends meet. He always felt loved and never wanted for more. A shadow crept slowly across the floor and then up the side of the bed. The sunlight that had seemed to dance across the floor just a few seconds before was gone. Only small slivers of light bounced along the edge of the shadow as it moved ominously closer towards Tommy. The shadow belonged to Thomas. Tommy lay motionless as Thomas sat down on the edge of the bed. Tommy continued to breathe softly as his little body slid ever so slightly towards the spot where Thomas was. Thomas quietly watched Tommy as he slept. Thomas looked around the room and saw poster after poster of superheroes. He recognized some of them from when he was a young boy. It was a time when good was much easier to discern from evil. That was a long time ago. He smiled at the thought that this little boy, who believed so much in superheroes, would one day become one himself. Perhaps a better name might be Supernatural Hero, he whispered. He smiled as Tommy started to rouse from his sleep. First he would stretch his legs, then his arms, and then make funny noises with his mouth, as his tongue made a clicking sound as it clung to the roof of his mouth and then let go. Tommy inhaled deeply and then out, slowly, with a faint sigh. Perhaps that was Tommy saying goodbye to the dream world. In that world, Tommy was always the hero, at least most of the time. Thomas knew that Tommy was waking up. He always did this right before he would open his eyes. "Are you afraid of ghosts?" asked Thomas. Tommy smiled widely and then opened his eyes, squinting to keep the sun at bay. "Thomas!" Tommy sat up and hugged his favorite person sitting next to him. "Those are pretty bright pajamas that you're wearing there," said Thomas. Tommy laughed. "These are my new pajamas. Mom gave them to me yesterday after we left the park. Look at all the soccer balls," said Tommy as he pointed to his sleeves painted with scores of soccer balls. "Nice," said Thomas. Tommy looked toward the partially open door. Just to the right hung a poster of a superhero, just above a large dresser drawer. "Does Mom know you're here?" Thomas followed Tommy's gaze towards the door and then briefly glanced towards the open window. A breeze kept the curtains gently swaying from side to side. The sun mixed randomly with leaves and cast diffuse patterns of light on the floor. "Nope, our little secret. She doesn't care much for me," said Thomas with a sigh. Tommy half smiled and sat up higher as he leaned back onto the headboard. "I'm glad that you're here," said Tommy. He rubbed his eyes and stretched out his arms wide and yawned. "Not all of them. Some of those ghosts are very scary," said Tommy in the yawn. Thomas scrunched his forehead in confusion. "What? You asked me if I was afraid of ghosts." "Oh, yes, yes," said Thomas while trying to suppress the urge to yawn. Tommy smiled. "Are you afraid of me?" asked Thomas. "Of course not." "That's good. I'm not afraid of the ghosts at Grandma's house either. I know that they won't hurt me." "Those ghosts at your grandma's believe that they have some unfinished business that keeps them from going to heaven." "That's what Grandma told me. She said that the ghosts that visit her are there for help. She prays for them so that they can go to heaven," said Tommy. "There's a whole bunch of them there." "Can you see them?" "Yes. Those ghosts look like regular people with bright light inside." Tommy looked up at Thomas. "Some are brighter than others." "What about me?" asked Thomas. "I mean, what do I look like to you?" Tommy smiled. "You look like..." Tommy hesitated. Thomas leaned forward. "An old man?" asked Thomas. Tommy's smile faded. Thomas smiled and then tickled Tommy. Tommy giggled and squirmed with laughter. "Okay, you were saying?" said Thomas. "Well, you have a bright white light where your heart is," said Tommy as he pointed to Thomas's chest. "What happens when you hold my hand?" asked Thomas. Thomas reached for Tommy's hand. Tommy pulled back his hand and looked down. "It's okay, Tommy," said Thomas. "Sometimes people get mad when I touch them," said Tommy. "I won't get angry, I promise." Tommy reached for Thomas's hand and laid it gently on top. Thomas closed his eyes. Tommy's eyes widened as he saw the globe of light near to Thomas's chest grow brighter and brighter. Thomas opened his eyes and smiled. "See, Tommy? That is your superpower. Thank you." Tommy smiled broadly and hugged Thomas. "I wish my grandma could see me the way that you do," said Tommy as he looked down at his hands. "In her own way, I think she does." Tommy smiled and looked up at Thomas. "I love my grandma," said Tommy. "I love it when we visit Grandma. She and I talk about what happens when people die and that some turn into ghosts." Thomas smiled broadly. I guess that's one way to look at it, said Thomas. She told me that some ghosts don't even know that they're dead, said Tommy. That's a myth, said Thomas, still smiling. A myth? The smile on Thomas's face went a little crooked. It's an untruth, said Thomas, his smile returning. Look, Tommy, when a person dies, it is like suddenly opening their eyes for the first time. They see things as they are, not as they believe them to be, said Thomas. They all know that they are dead. How can they not? Thomas looked to the side for a second, then back to Tommy. I guess maybe it could be that they just don't want to admit it, said Thomas. Tommy just blinked. Thomas would sometimes forget that he was talking to an 8-year-old boy. Tommy was a lot more grown up than the average 8-year-old child was. No matter, he thought. He will understand it eventually. What else did your grandmother say? Asked Thomas. She says it's sometimes hard to tell the good ones from the bad ones. She pointed to a man once and said that he was evil. But when I looked at him, he was almost as bright as you are right now, said Tommy. He had hardly any black smoke around him. I thought he was a good person, not an evil person like Grandma thought. Sounds like you already know how to tell the difference for yourself, Tommy, said Thomas. Most people are not evil. Tommy forged on. He wanted to tell Thomas all about what he and his grandmother had talked about before it was time for Thomas to leave. Grandma told me that I shouldn't talk to ghosts. She said I should just ignore them, said Tommy. Does that work? Asked Thomas. Sometimes. What do you do if they don't leave? Grandma said I should just say a prayer for them so that they can move on. Is that what you do? Yes, most of the time I do, but sometimes there are just too many of them. A stiff breeze rustled the curtains and caused the door to open a little wider. Tommy looked at his door. Mom? There was no answer. Mom doesn't like to talk about ghosts, said Tommy, looking back at Thomas. Why not? I don't know. Grandma told me that Mom used to see ghosts just like she does. Tommy took a deep breath and then continued. Now she takes medicine so that she can't see them anymore. Not everyone can see ghosts. Many people have a hard time even believing in ghosts. But some of those who do believe in ghosts are afraid of them, said Thomas. Maybe your mom is just afraid of them. Tommy looked down and sighed. Thomas reached to Tommy's chin and gently raised Tommy's head. What's wrong? Sometimes I'm afraid of them too, said Tommy as he took a deep breath and exhaled slowly, but not all of them. Thomas looked intently at Tommy and waited for him to continue. I had a dream the other night. It was scary. There was a man, a very shadowy man. He wasn't alive. He wanted to hurt Mom. He wasn't trying to hurt me. He wanted to hurt her. I was afraid of him, said Tommy. You do understand that even a shadowy man can't hurt you, said Thomas. Tommy looked down at his hand and then back to Thomas. I guess. I'm not afraid of those ghosts that visit Grandma. The shadowy man was different from those ghosts. He was cold. He was icy cold. He was mean, really mean. Thomas moved uncomfortably. Tommy, you must believe me. Those dark beings cannot harm you. You must believe this. You must trust me. I promise you, shouted Thomas. Tommy's eyes widened. He had never seen Thomas be upset before. He was always calm. Thomas reached for Tommy and hugged him tight. Tommy reached around and hugged Thomas even tighter. Thomas tried to let go, but Tommy clung fast. Tommy, I believe in you. I believe in the light inside of you. I love you, said Thomas. Tommy let go of Thomas and looked up at him. But when I told Grandma about it, she got angry with me. She said that I should stop talking to ghosts. She said that I had dreamt about demons. What she said didn't make any sense to me. It scared me. Oh, Tommy, she means well, said Thomas. Your grandmother is a firm believer in her faith. She believes that the souls that she prays for are stuck. In purgatory? Said Tommy. That's what Grandma said. Yes. It's not exactly a place. It's where a soul is not quite pure enough to enter into heaven. At least, that is what she believes, said Thomas. Don't you believe that too? Tommy, it is what you believe that's important. What I believe doesn't matter, said Thomas. Grandma believes in demons, I guess. Don't breathe life into those things that your grandmother believes, okay? Asked Thomas. Does this make sense to you? Does this make sense? Kind of, said Tommy with a sigh. I couldn't even talk to Mom about that dream. I started to tell her, and she just rolled her eyes. She said that I was spending too much time talking to Grandma. She said that Grandma was filling my head up with nonsense. Tommy, you are fine. I am confident that your grandmother and your mother both love you just the way you are. You have such an incredible gift. You may not realize it yet, but there is a fire that burns brightly within you. You don't have to be afraid. There is nothing in the ghostly realm that can harm you. You have to believe that. Anything that happens to you only makes you stronger. I have no doubt that you will realize this for yourself soon enough. The telephone rang loudly from the kitchen and interrupted Thomas. They both looked at the door as the phone clanged away. It's Mom's phone. Thomas moved to stand. I better go. I'm sure that your mother doesn't want me here.
Please don't go. Not yet. Please.
I'll be back, said Thomas. I promise. We're going to go to Grandma's house today. Will you visit me there? Thomas smiled. Yes, I'll be there. Also by Roger Mendoza, the nonfiction book My Little Cowboy, and the E.B. Roberts Chronicles, three books, Alexander's Journey, The Sheriff, and Broken Widow. Thanks for listening. About the author. Roger Mendoza lives in San Antonio, Texas, the seventh largest city in the United States. In 2014, he moved back to his birth town of San Antonio from Parker, Colorado, where he had lived for 15 years. Living on the outskirts of San Antonio, he still enjoys the taste of rural life that he loves so much and the many conveniences that the big city provides. He worked most of his life as a software engineer in the defense industry, where he cultivated his passion for computer programming, but is now retired. Along with writing novels, Roger is also a professional photographer and can often be seen toting his camera looking for photo opportunities in and around town. He loves to capture nature photography and beautiful scenery. He was born eighth in a family of 10 children. There were 5 boys and 5 girls with an age span of about 23 years. With a fascination for his family history, he has spent years gathering his parents' family photographs and documents. He has cataloged the family's collection and digitized them all. He loves keeping the family tree database updated with new family members as they are born. Roger loves to review the thousands of family photographs and documents while imagining what these people, these relatives, were like. Roger has always had an interest in understanding the philosophy of life, why people act the way they do, and how we all fit into the grander scheme of life itself. He still believes in happy endings, even though life often gets in the way of that outcome on occasion. He always had a fascination with unusual phenomena, the most being the drama of life itself. It still amazes him why so much drama fills the life of his friends and family. Perhaps it's observing that drama that sparks his imagination and gives his characters life.